Welcome to the X-Men Task Podcast. My name is Lily Simpson.
My name's Sonya Rappaport.
And today, Sonya, we are in the fifth episode of Season 5, the 69th episode overall, Stormfront, Part 1.
Right.
This episode is perhaps unfortunately titled. I'm not going to be putting it in the website's tags of searchable terms I don't want people searching the internet for Stormfront, the racist website, to cross-pollinate into our universe.
it's a different audience.
Perhaps this episode predates that website somehow. I doubt it, but whatever. It's not like it had all that notoriety. Mm-hmm. Either way, the least we could say about that, the better. So, unfortunate episode title aside, I had no real memory of seeing this episode, so for me it was like seeing it for the first time. I had definitely seen it before, but...
Another good one.
Yeah, pretty good. It's the last of the well-animated episodes. So...
Well, part two will be.
Right, yeah. Part two will be part two of Stormfront, but then after that it's Jubilee's Fairy Tale Theater, and...
This is the nosedive we've been waiting for all this time.
Right. Well, not yet. Soon, the nosedive is coming.
That's what
right?
I mean, yeah. Jubilee's.
Yeah. We're on the precipice here of X-Men quality. Not necessarily in writing, we'll see about that, but definitely in production value. Mm-hmm. So, right off the bat, what I can say about this episode, it's a Storm-centric episode.
I love that it's about Storm and not about her backstory. That it's like things that are happening now that are brand new to everyone. I think that's cool.
You think most of the Storm-centric episodes touch on her backstory, is what you're saying? I have to think about that. Because it's like the one where she fights the Shadow King definitely touches on her backstory.
Right.
Where she was like a midwife or something.
Yeah.
What other Storm-centric episodes? The one where, like, the Savage Land episodes where she's... It reminded me of the Savage Land episodes where the weather's all messed up and she has to...
Uh-huh.
There's, like, a danger of her trying to fix it.
I guess those aren't so much about her backstory,
yeah,
but
maybe
there's,
not
like,
those.
The hint of claustrophobia.
Right, that always comes up.
I guess that's
up.
Just her character, not
yeah.
her, like,
right, so this is, like, a nice Storm-centric episode that you're right. It's just, like, get to see Storm as the center of action.
Yeah.
As the hero. And I'm guessing it's loosely based off of a semi-famous X-Men annual comic book, where it was a comic written right in the heart of the Phoenix Saga, I believe. Maybe the Dark Phoenix Saga. It wasn't my favorite annual, because that's, like, obviously mine and many people's favorite runs of X-Men ever is the Phoenix comics.
Yeah.
And everything going on. So, like, right in the middle of that action, there's the episode where... It's probably the same place. It's definitely the same characters. They travel to, in this episode, they're called Polemicus, and the guy's called, like...
Archon?
Archon, right, yeah. So it's probably, like, ripped off that story. I don't remember the details of the comic, but it's definitely the setting mm-hmm. from that. So in a way, it was, like, I feel like it was a very famous annual just because it's, like, smack dab in the middle of the most famous X-Men comics ever. And it was kind of disappointing... It's like I've discussed on previous episodes with annual comic books. Those are the ones they would do at the end of the year, I think, where it would be like a double-sized issue where they would cram in a lot of stuff and it'd be like a special adventure, not really connected to the main storyline mm-hmm. often. And so it was disappointing in the sense that they were taking a break from all this interesting Phoenix stuff to go to this like Polemicus world, this other dimension, and do their business there. Mm-hmm. It was like a... I think it was like a weird... like high concept Conan the Barbarian type, you know, comic book, as we'll see here.
Yeah.
You know, at least with the main character. So, all right, that's sort of what it's based on. But here the episode is pretty good. It opens, there is a violent storm raging across the nation's capital.
Mm-hmm.
And the X-Men are there trying to fix it in the Blackbird jet.
Yeah. Storm is, like, sensing that things are off. It's not a normal weather pattern, and Beast confirms. Meteorologists say it's not a normal weather pattern.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, can't Storm just fix this easily? She controls the weather.
Well, that's the interesting... I mean, like, this episode, we learn a lot about the limits of her powers and the uniqueness of her powers, questions we've asked on this podcast throughout the run. So... When there's a real planet-wide catastrophe, it obviously takes her greater effort
mm-hmm.
to mess with the weather. And here she talks about, you get a sense of like what her powers mean. Like she has a weird connection to Mother Earth,
mm-hmm.
and she senses the weather's pain, and she talks about how the weather's injured in a way, that there's something wrong with all the elemental forces. So, you know, Storm's power is, like, very mysterious the more you, like, if you really think about it. Like, it's one thing to write the character and say, she controls the weather.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a very godlike, cool fantasy power to just bestow onto somebody. But what does that really mean? How does that work? It's very bizarre because, you know, what are the limits of it? Is she controlling, like, is she in touch with the geology of the planet? And or is it just the atmosphere? Is it like chemical reactions and the
clouds? I mean, we still don't really get all of our answers, but it's explored here at the very least, and it is interesting to watch her because I mean, like, shortly into the episode, that's exactly what she tries to do. She pulls the escape hatch and she's like, "Everyone, like, stay here!" And she like jumps up out of the Blackbird to try to go like do what she can to fix the weather,
right?
And Jubilee tries to go after her. It's like, wait, you know.
She jumps out the plane.
She almost falls out. Wolverine catches her at the last second.
It's pretty
ridiculous. He's like, let Storm do what she's got to do. Like, relax.
Again, Jubilee taken on another extremely violent mission, or dangerous mission anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, I guess this is how you learn to be an X-Man. Like, to be a badass superhero on the level of Wolverine, Storm, or Cyclops, or Rogue, you've got to put yourself in danger. But Jubilee is so underpowered.
It's like an apprenticeship program.
It is. I mean, it's like, it's realistic in the sense that if you were training for the most one of the most elite superhero teams in the world, you'd have to put yourself in enormous danger and get used to it.
Yeah.
And just laugh in the face of danger, more or
less. She does that, though.
She laughs in the face of danger, for sure.
She has role models that do that as well.
Yeah, but still. Like I said, she seems underpowered. You know, she doesn't...
You don't think her fireworks are, like, good enough to keep her safe?
Well, that's always been a question, is, like, how strong her fireworks power... But it's still, it's just like shooting. It's like having a gun.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I always question the X-Men bringing the 15-year-old Jubilee along. But that's neither here nor there. I liked some details when they opened up this episode. There's a news report. And, you know, they're saying it's taking place over Washington, D.C. They've never seen weather like this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, an interview from some guy in a crowd. He's like, I blame the muties for screwing with the weather.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, another nice little touch of the social atmosphere in the country world the X-Men inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Storm is, like we said, she's in great, almost like physical pain at this bad weather. That's like an interesting characteristic of her power, that the weather can bring her great distress when it's not in its proper harmony. I wonder if in the comics now, with global warming becoming more and more of a thing, I would write in that Storm's, like, getting more in pain. You know, it's like, things are going
right. Constant migraines.
She's like, El Nino! No! another, like, weird detail that stuck out to me, all in the Blackbird, Jubilee keeps referring to Cyclops as Psyche.
Uh-huh.
Which is a nickname we've seen...
Wolverine calls him that
sometimes. Wolverine calls him often, but I've never heard Jubilee really refer to him as Psyche. It seems a little bit disrespectful to the team captain from a 15-year-old punk on the team that she's just freely calling him Psyche. I guess they're all friends
at this
point.
It's endearment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still just, like, slightly jarring that she kept referring to him as Psyche, like, over and over. But whatever, that's
fine.
Didn't
bother me.
Yeah. So the Storm jumps out the window of the Blackbird, or the door. The plane does a hard crash landing. It's kind of dramatic. Beast is on the jet as well, flying the plane with Cyclops. They're having some trouble. It's weird, you know, as they're doing the crash landing, we see... I was like, immediately, like, why aren't Wolverine and Jubilee strapped into a seat? This is so dangerous.
Yeah.
And immediately they're flung back into their chairs, luckily, you know, for the crash landing.
Uh-huh.
So the plane crashes, but they're okay for the time being. Storm is on top of the Washington Monument doing what she can to try to calm the weather. She's, like, making some progress. She's standing on top of the Washington Monument in her high-heeled shoes, you know, trying to balance herself on the triangle point. And, you know, she runs out of energy and she stumbles and falls, luckily, into the arms of, like we sort of said, a Conan the Barbarian type warrior dude. What's his name again?
Archon.
So he kind of looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger in a way. He's got long purple hair.
Just like Arnold.
Right. Well, not that. Yeah, that's the one detail. Not like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but big bulging muscles. He's wearing one of those weird, like, barbarian tunic type outfits. He's got a quiver filled with lightning bolt arrows.
Yeah.
Reminiscent of Zeus, I guess.
They look exactly like Storm's earrings, as you pointed right, out.
That's fine.
And if I were Storm, that would be the first thing. I'd be like, hey, we match, or yeah. like something, you know?
Right. So she falls, you know, she does, she's like, how tall is the Washington Monument? It's pretty tall.
Uh-huh.
She falls right into this guy's arms.
Yeah.
Lucky her, she's alive. And he essentially just begins the process of kidnapping her.
Mm-hmm.
He explains, my name is Archon, I'm from this world, Polemicus. It's in great danger, the weather there's really messed up. I had to bring you a taste of it here to, like, get your attention.
That's right, he, like, pushes a button on his panel and it, like, cures all of the Earth's,
right.
like, weather problems that Storm had been, like, fainting trying to solve. He just, like, gets rid of it right away. And yeah. She's like, wait, that was you?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I just had to show you, like, what we're up against. So, like, come with me and help me solve all my problems.
And she's like, you're a fucking asshole. That's barbarous that yeah. you put all these people in danger just to, you know, if your cause is just you should have come out to me.
Yeah.
And I would have helped you probably.
Right.
But he's like, okay, no time for this. And he just grabs her in his arms and opens up a dimensional portal with, like, a glowing golf ball thing on his chest. And he hops on through to another dimension.
But Storm realizes she's being kidnapped, and she, like, grabs one of those portal openers and throws it on the
ground. No, that's the weird thing. Archon does that.
No, he doesn't. It's Storm.
No, I'm almost certain it's Archon.
We have to go back and watch it. Okay. I'm so certain it's Storm.
Hold on. Okay, so I was wrong. Everyone that has a secret desire for me to eat crow in this podcast, you can stand up and applaud. Yeah, it's only Sonya. So Storm smartly grabs one of Archon's magic beads and leaves it for the X-Men to find, along with one of her excommunicators that she grabs off her chest and throws on the ground, too. So that's the clue.
Well, kind of. Did you miss that?
What? Part? What else did I miss?
So before Archon, like, completely kidnaps her with the portals and everything, Storm, like, Cyclops or whatever, her
Wolverine,
team,
yeah.
one of them is trying to contact her through her excommunicators.
Yeah.
And it's, like, on the fritz, sort of. She's,
oh, right.
like, trying to get back in contact with them, but she can't.
Right.
And, like, you see, like, on the sly, Archon is pushing some buttons mm-hmm. on his jacket or whatever, and he's the one that's messing up the communications. He's the one that, like, makes sure that she can't get in touch with her team before she, like, goes off with him. And so, like, she's, like, pressing on one of them to try to get it to work, but it's, like, totally broken and just, like, falls off and lands on the ground. And that's what she puts the little time portal
or
the space portal thing next to.
Right, right. Okay.
Anyway.
So, to try to rescue Storm, the X-Men commandeer a dude's SUV. It's like a rather oversized car or SUV, I'm not sure, but it was weird. You know, he says, who are you guys? And Wolverine's like, we're the Cub Scouts. He says something like that. It was pretty funny. So, like, Wolverine, Beast, and Jubilee, and Cyclops all crammed into this guy's car. Like, three overly muscled men.
Wolverine takes the driver's side, and Beast gets in on the passenger side of the front seat, and, like, the car's owner is squished in between the two of them. Jubilee's in the back seat. She's like, they're not as bad as they seem.
Three, like, insane mutants on steroids.
This guy's really having quite the adventure this evening.
Yeah, it's quite a scene. Meanwhile, Professor X is, like, jacked in with Cerebro, like, tapping on his computers with all the Cerebro wires coming out of his helmet. I liked all the electricity flowing around there. See, that's the Professor X I like. That's why I prefer the Cerebro that's not in, like, a big, like, dome.
Tiled room.
Yeah, I like him working in his office with the helmet on, like, plugged in like it's a virtual reality thing and
uh-huh.
tapping away at his computer. I find that funny. That's where he belongs. I mean, that's a good way to... It's a good place to keep Professor X and, like, keep him out of the action. Because, like we said, anytime he's on a mission, he's too overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're always either knocking him out or, like, coming up with some excuse as to why he can't do something. Or they're just forgetting that he's there and he doesn't do something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I just like him back in the mansion all the time, is just, you know, working on a computer. I feel like that's just, like, a better excuse.
Mm.
You know, like, doing sort of, like, the reconnaissance stuff back
in the guy in the chair stuff.
Yeah, right. There you go. The guy in the chair stuff, to quote Spider-Man Homecoming. So
which is like, anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So they find the glowing golf ball, as Wolverine calls it, at the crime scene where Storm's been kidnapped. They bring it back to the X-Mansion, which I kind of appreciated that. I thought immediately they'd take the ball and, like, smash on the ground and go in the portal right away. Mm-hmm. But they actually do some analysis. They go back to the mansion, and they try to figure out what it is. Beast says some interesting stuff. He says, there's no, like, I can't even figure out what element it is. Mm. And that, you know, that speaks to the fact that it's from another dimension. They might have a different, like, periodic table there or something. Mm-hmm. It's got a different energy signature. None of it makes sense. And Wolverine's really impatient, and he just, like, knocks it off the table of this, like, this delicate, you know, thing they found, and immediately opens up the portal. And they're like, well, what should we do now? We should analyze this more. And Wolverine's like, screw that, I'm going in. And Jubilee's like, I'm right behind you. And Professor X is like, well, in your impatience, you might have solved the problem. Yeah. Goodbye, X-Men. And they all hop in to try to find Storm. Meanwhile, she's on this planet Polemicus. It's like this weird, like, it's like totally out of an episode of Star Trek, which I'm sure
yeah.
a combination coming from the cartoon writers who like Star Trek and also the comic book writers of the time also heavily aped Star Trek in the comics. Mm-hmm. It's like a world where it's like a mixture of like old Earth time
like
themes.
Greek columned buildings.
Yeah, ancient Roman and Greek style mixed with barbarian times and medieval stuff going on. Like a weird, like one of those planets with like human type people living there. Mm-hmm. So.
But like future technology.
Yeah, future tech also. And they show what the world looks like from outer space. It's like this purple world with like a shiny. I don't know if it's purple. It's purple at times, but it's got this shiny, like, rainbow ring around it that mm-hmm. seems to be causing the planet a lot of harm. And here we get, like, a sense that Storm's powers, like, I've always wondered, you know, can she, like, use her powers in space? Can she use it underwater, as we saw in, like, a submarine? Mm-hmm. And I guess her powers just work anywhere, so, because she can sense that the planet is dying. And that's why this Archon guy brought her there, is to fix things. The planet's weather's all messed up. There's hurricanes going on, sandstorms and floods. And so she's, like, going from one stressful Earth planet to this planet now and a lot of stress, trying to, like, fix it for him.
Yeah.
He's pleading with her. He's like, I'm not going to apologize for kidnapping you. I had to do what I had to do to save my world.
And he, like, shows her on an enormous screen, like, some scenes of his people getting sick and,
right, there's
like,
plagues, too.
Flooding and, like, all kinds of bad stuff going on. And he's like, don't you see, like, I'm desperate. All these people are depending on me. And Storm's like, all right, yeah, like, I forgive you. I'll help you.
Which, you know, she would do. She's a hero. But still, it's, like, a messed up situation.
But, like, it's like he knows that, too, though. It's like he would prefer to, like, do something and ask forgiveness than to, like, ask permission ahead of time.
That kind of reminds me of, like, an Arnold Schwarzenegger character where his interactions with women in films where he just sort of drags them along and he, like, knows it's for the better good, but he doesn't explain it, like, right away. You know where it sticks out, like, Marathon Man, where he, you know, he's on the run. He's been, like, falsely accused of murdering all these people by this fascist government that he lives in. Uh-huh. And he escapes from jail, and he, like, busts into this woman's apartment. And the woman thinks, like, he's going to rape her, and but instead he ties her up, and he's like, I need you to take me to the airport or something, you know? And he just, like, drags her along in this way. Like, you know Arnold's a good guy. But
he also needs to, like, use these people.
Yeah, he's like a bully. Like, the way he just drags women, like, picks them up like they're toothpicks and, you know what I mean, throws them over his shoulder and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens in all his movies, like Total Recall and also in even, like, Predator, where he finds that woman in the jungle that helps him, like, I don't know.
His main distinguishing feature is that he's enormous and muscular, so like the movies have to use that to their advantage, you know?
Well, it's, you know, he could... It's a similar move to what Arnold does in all these movies with this Archon guy, this with Storm. He sort of just, like, drags her along, and he's like, you'll see my, like, goodness through my brutishness once, like, it's all revealed. But I don't have time to explain it to you right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm too sort of righteous and, like, in a hurry.
Right.
Storm, like, comments... Oh, no. Before that, like, the X-Men are confronted by a bunch of angry citizens on this world, and they sort of, immediately blame them. Like, you must be the cause of all our troubles. And they start sort of attacking them, and Jubilee kind of notes that, like, oh, it's just like Earth, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, they're attacked by, like, the weird future tech of this planet, these floating, like, half-sentinel things. So they're tangling with those robots. Storm, meanwhile... at the government castle place, she comments that, oh, I think it's this giant energy central transmitter you have that's probably causing all the problems. Just turn it off, and your planet will be fine. He's like, no, it controls our security. There's got to be another way. I know you can do it, Storm. He's, like, pushing her to the edge.
Right.
And it's like...
But, like, he's pushing her in exactly the right way for her, you know? Because he's not, like, outright forcing her, but he's like, I believe in you, and, like... your goodness and, like, generosity and, yeah. like, together.
He's manipulating her emotionally in a way.
Right, exactly.
Even though she's, like, using her actual, like, smarts and detective work. She's like, well, you know, like, I probably don't have to do anything. Just turn off that transmitter thing.
Yeah.
That also reminds me of the plot of that movie, Tomorrowland, a little bit.
Mm.
I got a sense of that. You know, remember that? Like, I doubt you remember the conclusion of that movie. We just saw it once.
But was basically, that the George Clooney movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I saw that movie.
Yeah, I think we saw it. We saw it together. You saw it. No, we definitely saw it. We both saw it. Really? I just think you were, like, tuned out. It wasn't that great.
Okay.
But anyway, like, spoilers for people who haven't seen Tomorrowland. It ends, like, they travel to this futuristic place, and, like, the very thing protecting the planet is the thing, like, causing the planet to die, or something to that nature.
Uh-huh.
Or causing Earth to have a lot of trouble. I forget exactly what, but it's similar. So, and, like, some guy who claims to be good is, like, trying to preserve the thing that's destroying everything.
Got it.
Out of his own ignorance or his own greed, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. So we get a hint that this guy is, like, up to, like, some secret no good, even though his intentions seem to be good, this mm-hmm. Archon. So, anyway, the X-Men are captured, though. They're put in jail. And immediately I'm kind of like, this is such a wimpy jail. The X-Men should be able to blast out, you know? Even though it's got, like, magical sci-fi green laser prison bars.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but it's the rest of it's surrounded by brick. Why doesn't Cyclops just blow it up or Wolverine start stabbing at it? And that turned out to be not a concern because, like, a minute later, that's exactly what they do. They just sort of blast their way out of the prison. Wolverine fakes, like, a fake fight between him and Cyclops at first. That seemed totally pointless. Anyway, but meanwhile, though, Storm fixes the planet. It takes a lot of effort and energy from her. You see her, like, she chants, like, a bunch of magical incantations at the world.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like she's, I don't know, it's almost like, when you see, well, I don't know much about this, really, but, like, when you hear or see in movies about, like, certain, like, religious services being given, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, it's almost like prayer, what she's
hers
doing, you
work,
know?
Though, that's yeah. different.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why she's a goddess.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's just interesting to see her powers work on another planet. And, you know, it takes a heavy toll on her. The X-Men arrive, though. Luckily, the prison they're in is located right next to the King's throne room, whatever right. it is. So, the planet is fixed, and then there's a celebration on the world, blue skies. And the X-Men are like, okay, well, glad we saved the day, but our mission is done here. We have to leave. But Archon's like, no, Storm's staying with me. I have fallen in love with you, Storm. You're the greatest hero in our world, and they'll never forget it. It's like, stay with me, marry me, be my queen, and we'll rule. And she agrees.
Well, she protests a little at first.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's too sudden. And right. then he, like, continues to profess his love to her. And she's like, oh, well, all right.
Yeah, and then they start making out, like, a real heavy kiss.
Uh-huh.
And so that, to me, is, like, again, why I bring up Schwarzenegger, because it's just, like... You get the in all the Schwarzenegger movies, the movie makers are like, Schwarzenegger's sexuality is so like powerful
uh-huh.
that women just like become like putty in his hands. They can't help but fall into his muscles, you know. And meanwhile, in the real world, you're thinking like, are women really attracted to that? He seems kind of like overly muscly and gross looking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I think it's funny that you, like bring up all these Arnold movies because it's, like, the early 90s and, yeah. like, nothing happens in a vacuum, you know? So it's, like, it's all part of the zeitgeist.
Well, this is 1996 or 7. We're almost at the end of the rainbow here.
Yeah.
The X-Men.
Right.
We're no longer in the early 90s. We're well into the beginning of the late 90s.
Right, I know, but I'm still, saying,
his star was burning strong then.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's not, like, totally outrageous to think that archetype of a mm-hmm. character wasn't influenced by him, you know?
Right, yeah.
or was influenced
right.
by him.
I mean, but we could tell, though, that there's a dark side to this Archon guy. Not as all as it seems. Mm-hmm. And obviously we know Storm's not going to stay on this planet and be married to this dude. Right. So something is going to make it undone. But it's another, like, nice sort of theme that gets touched upon later in Marvel Comics, Storm's various boyfriends. One of them, most famously, is the Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And she does end up marrying him and, like, rules Wakanda as his queen by his side for a while. I think mm-hmm. they end up getting divorced or something. Something happens. Hmm. She gives it up or they fall out of love. I don't know what the story is. I never read it. Although I'm very interested in it. Black Panther comics. I've read several Black Panther comics, and anyone I've ever read I've always really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm gonna go like start looking up if someone has like a good omnibus suggestion or a Marvel Masterworks of what era of Black Panther I should collect. Like, just give me a good suggestion on the X-Men Task podcast group. I'd be really interested in like catching up on like some classic Black Panther, either be it like vintage from like the 60s or 70s or 80s or like even more modern. I'm kind of curious like what are like the top Black Panther stories. Hmm. Anyway, and that's something we're going to look forward to in the future movies is whoever plays Storm hooking up with Chadwick Boseman, and it's just got to happen. I think that's just it's too perfect. It's like we talked about in the last episode how they better do a Captain Marvel movie with Rogue. Mm-hmm. They got to do a Black Panther with Storm, either in Black Panther 2 or 3. You know, we could have Storm come in the picture.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, that's pretty much all I have for this one. It's cliffhanger. So another classic two parter. We'll check in on Stormfront 2 next week, hopefully with a special guest. We have some lined up. That's all I have to say about this episode. Any final thoughts on Storm or Archon or this episode in general? Season no. 5 thus far. I think season 5 has been very good thus far.
Yeah, definitely it has. And it's even sweeter because like we didn't know where that like turning point was going to be and now we do.
Yeah.
But
you know what's funny? It's like I know there's some real terrible ones when the animation gets bad, uh-huh. but there's also some really good ones too.
Yeah, so far all of them in season 5 have been gems. They've been really good.
Yeah.
And like I said, I like the Storm episode that doesn't go into her backstory. I feel like we know a lot about her backstory, mm-hmm. so now we're moving forward. And it's even like sort of hopeful at the end of this one, even though there's been quite a bit of foreshadowing to let you know that Archon is not going to end up being a good guy.
Yeah.
But
well, we'll see. I vaguely remember what happens in the comics, and I remember it like not being like so black and white. But who knows? I don't remember. Okay. And we'll see what happens in the cartoon. Obviously,
yeah. But you know, the end of this one left me wanting to see the next one.
Yeah, me too. Yes. And we are almost near the end. Episode 69, and there's only 70-something episodes. So yep. Very exciting to be heading towards the end. Mm-hmm. Any other stuff going on? This is kind of a short episode. Do we have anything? We saw Christopher Robin today. Do you recommend that movie to our X-Tas listeners? Speaking of Winnie the Pooh out of left field.
It was cute. I don't know.
Yeah, it was cute.
I think we just wanted to go to the movies because it's hot and it's summer and it's, like, fun to be in air conditioning for, like, several hours. And, not sweat, but...
Yeah. I just, like, what's weird, I wanted to go to the movies to see Mission Impossible 6. And we're going to go see it probably later this weekend, too. But I was also, like, I want to see just, like, a good Ewan McGregor movie. You know, I just enjoy him in all his movies. And, you know, I like Winnie...
That about you.
Well, yeah. Like, I don't have any special, like, real connection to Winnie the Pooh more than most people. I mean, I enjoyed the books as a kid. And, you know, I've never seen the cartoon a few times. Uh-huh. And I haven't seen any of, like, the newer Winnie the Pooh movies. They probably did, like, a CGI one semi-recently. And things of that nature, but whatever. The point is, like, it seemed cool to me, like a period piece, and the CGI on the stuffed animals in the movie was like in the trailer to me looked amazing.
Yeah,
that looks so realistic. It's like these are like stuffed animals come to life, and that really intrigued me. So that's I don't know. I was like, let's just fucking see this movie, and I kind of wanted to see if a movie would make me cry too.
It didn't happen.
No, it didn't. I felt my face scrunching up a little bit at times, but it was a cute, fun movie. So, yeah. Until the next superhero movie.
I mean, like I was saying, they front load all of the really good summer blockbusters in like early July, late June.
Even like earlier in June lately. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But it's basically like when school gets out is when they put out all like the really good summer movies. And by now it's kind of fizzled out. There's that and Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And, like, you know,
right.
Like not too much new stuff coming down the pipeline just yet. So
yeah,
yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you're just in the mood to go see a movie. And
yeah, that's what we were this morning. We're like, let's just see a movie. Let's have some fun. Anyway, that's all I got for this week. I want to do our plugs. You can follow me on Twitter, not at Twitter, at Willie Simpson. It's feeling dirtier and dirtier to even use Twitter as a service. Same goes with Facebook. But you can also join our Facebook group, the X-Men Task Podcast Facebook group. Join us there, connect with me and Sonia and the other fans.
Fellow fans.
Right, we could talk about everything. Yeah,
X-Men
we've always...
and Marvel and...
have occasional lively discussions there. Not too intrusive on your timeline. And also rate and review us 5 stars on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use. That goes a long way to spreading our signal to anyone who would be interested who have not caught on all the fun yet. Mm-hmm. Sonia, any final words of wisdom to our followers out there?
Nope. Goodbye, X-Fans.
Goodbye, everybody.